Most preparedness conversations start with the assumption that trouble finds you at home, where your supplies are stacked, your plans are written down, and everything you need is within reach. But life does not work that way. On any given day, you are probably somewhere else. You are at your desk, on a job site, in a store across town, or driving down a highway miles from your front door. If something goes wrong while you are out there, all those carefully stored supplies at home do you no good at all. This is the gap that a get-home bag is built to fill. A get-home bag is a small, lightweight kit that lives where you spend your time away from home. It sits in your car trunk, tucks under your desk, or waits in a locker at work. Its entire purpose is simple and specific: to get you home safely on your own two feet when your normal way of getting there falls apart. It is not a survival fantasy or a plan for the end of the world. It is a practical answer to an ordinary problem, which is being stranded away from home during an ordinary day that has taken an unexpected turn. In this guide, we will walk through exactly what a get-home bag is, how it differs from the other bags you may have heard about, the real situations that leave people stuck far from home, and how to think about the distance you might have to cover on foot. By the end, you will understand the reasoning behind every choice, and you will be handed a tiered packing list to build your own bag. The most important idea to hold on to from the very start is this: this is a bag for the journey home, not for staying put and not for running away. Everything about it is shaped by movement. What a get-home bag is. A get-home bag is a compact, portable kit that you keep away from home so that you can travel back home on foot when driving or commuting is no longer possible. That is the whole idea in one sentence. It is staged in the places you actually are during the day, not sitting in a closet where it cannot help you. If you spend 8 hours at an office, the bag belongs at the office. If you spend your day behind the wheel, it belongs in the vehicle. The core principle is that a get-home bag is built around mobility and around a journey. It assumes you will be moving, probably walking, and that you need to reach a single destination, your home. This makes the get-home bag different from other kits in your preparedness life, and it helps to be clear about those differences so you do not blur them together. The most common comparison is the bug-out bag. A bug-out bag is designed to leave home with you when your home is no longer safe. It is packed to support you for roughly 72 hours away from home, often heading towards somewhere else entirely. It is heavier, larger, and oriented around leaving and surviving on your own for a few days. A get-home bag points in the opposite direction. It is not about leaving home. It is about returning to it. The other comparison is everyday carry, often shortened to EDC. Everyday carry is the small set of useful items you keep on your person every day, the things in your pockets or on your belt. These items are always with you, but they are limited by what you can comfortably carry without a bag. A phone, keys, a small light, and similar items are helpful, but they will not get you across many miles of unfamiliar ground in bad weather. The get-home bag fills the space between these two. It holds more than your pockets can carry, but far less than a full evacuation kit. It is too much for everyday carry and too little for bugging out. It occupies a clear and useful middle ground, and understanding that middle ground is the first step to building a bag that actually works for you. When you keep these boundaries in mind, you avoid the common mistake of overpacking a get-home bag until it becomes a heavy pack you can barely lift, or underpacking it until it is no better than what you already have in your pockets. Why you need one and when you would use it. The reason to build a get-home bag becomes obvious once you stop imagining dramatic disasters and start thinking about normal days that go sideways. The situations that strand people away from home are almost always ordinary events, not the stuff of movies. They are the kinds of interruptions that happen somewhere in the country every single week. The everyday ways people get stranded. Consider a vehicle breakdown. You are driving home from a trip or a work assignment, and your car simply quits far from any town. Help may be hours away, or a tow may not be able to reach you quickly. You look around and realize the only reliable way home is your own feet. Now consider a major accident that closes a highway completely. Traffic backs up for miles and does not move for a long time. You are boxed in with no way forward and no way back, and home is on the other side of a road that has become a parking lot. Weather is another common cause. A sudden storm, heavy flooding, or ice can shut down roads without warning while you are at work or out running errands. Water over a roadway or a downed tree across the only route can turn a short drive into an impossible one. Even acid rain or other unusual weather events can make travel unsafe and force you to move carefully and on foot. Transit shutdowns strand people too. If you rely on a bus or a train and the system stops running because of a mechanical failure, a power outage, or a regional problem, you may find yourself with no ride and a long way to go. Then there are broader regional events. A widespread power failure, a large-scale accident, or any situation that makes driving impossible across a whole area can leave you stuck exactly where you happen to be when it started. In every one of these cases, the details are different, but the common thread is the same. You are away from home. Your normal transportation is gone. And home is a walkable but non-trivial distance away. The common thread. Notice what these scenarios are not. They are not the collapse of society. They are not permanent. They are interruptions to an otherwise ordinary day. You woke up expecting to drive to work and drive home, and something in that chain broke. The get-home bag exists for exactly this moment, when the plan to get home has failed and you need to fall back on your own ability to walk there. Because these events are so ordinary and so common, the case for having a get-home bag is not about fear. It is about not being caught helpless during a routine problem that has a straightforward solution. Walk home, prepared, planning for the journey home. Here is the question that sets a get-home bag apart from every other kit you might build. It is not what disaster you are preparing for. It is a much simpler and more personal question. How far are you realistically from home on a typical day, and how long would it take you to walk that distance? Everything about packing this bag flows from your honest answer. Know your real distance. Start by thinking through your actual routine. Where do you spend most of your time away from home? For many people, that is a workplace, but it could be a campus, a client site, or anywhere your regular travels take you. Measure the real distance from that place to your front door, and not just the driving distance on the highway. Think about the route you would actually walk, which may be different and may be longer. A commute that takes 20 minutes by car can be a very different thing on foot. Someone who lives a few miles from work faces a walk of an hour or two. Someone who commutes a few dozen miles faces a full day of walking or more, possibly overnight. Those are two completely different challenges, and they call for two different levels of preparation. Terrain, weather, and time of day. Distance is only part of the picture. Think about the ground you would cross. Is it flat sidewalk, or hills, open country, or rough terrain? Would you have to cross water, follow a highway shoulder, or move through areas with little shelter? Now add weather. The same walk is easy on a mild afternoon and dangerous in freezing rain or blazing heat. Consider the worst conditions you might realistically face on your route across the seasons, because your bag has to handle the hard version of the trip, not just the pleasant one. Also think about time. If trouble strikes at the end of a workday, part or all of your walk could happen in the dark, which changes what you need to stay safe and be seen. Letting the journey set your priorities. Once you understand your distance, terrain, and weather, your packing priorities almost sort themselves. A walk home puts certain needs at the top. You need to stay hydrated, because moving on foot for hours uses far more water than sitting still. You need to be protected from the elements, so that rain, cold, heat, or wind does not stop you or harm you. You need to be visible and safe, especially if you are walking near traffic or in low light. And you need to be able to find your way, which means being able to navigate even if your phone dies or loses signal. These four needs are the backbone of the journey. This is exactly why the packing list that follows is organized into tiers. The vital items are the ones that sustain the walk itself across the distance and conditions you face. They are non-negotiable no matter how short the trip. Beyond that, the further you might have to travel and the harsher the conditions, the more you need items that support a longer walk and add a margin of safety. A person walking 2 flat miles in fair weather needs far less than a person facing a 25-mile trek that could stretch into the night. The tiered approach lets you match your bag to your real situation instead of guessing, making sure you have the right supplies. A get-home bag is only as good as what you put in it. An empty bag or one filled with the wrong things will not carry you home. But there is a catch that makes this bag different from all the others, and it is worth saying plainly. Because you will be moving on foot, weight and size matter more here than in any kit you own. Every ounce is an ounce you carry on your back for the entire journey. This is not the place to overpack. A bag that is too heavy will slow you down, wear you out, and tempt you to abandon it partway home, which defeats the whole purpose. The packing list below is organized into 3 tiers so you can build the right bag for your own trip home. The vital tier holds the items that get you home across the distance and conditions you actually face. These are the essentials that keep you moving, protected, and on course. The recommended tier adds items that improve your safety and comfort on a longer walk, the kind of things that make a multi-hour or overnight journey far more manageable. The optional tier adds redundancy and extra capability for harder journeys, longer distances, or rougher weather, for those who want backups in case something fails. Treat the list as a starting framework, not a rigid set of rules. Adapt it to your commute, your climate, and your real distance from home. Someone in a hot, dry region will weigh their choices differently than someone facing icy winters, and someone with a long walk will lean harder on the recommended and optional tiers than someone who lives close by. With that in mind, here is the tiered get-home bag packing list to build from. A get-home bag only works if it is where you are, not where you sleep. A perfectly packed bag sitting in your hallway closet cannot help you when your car dies 20 miles away. Stage it in your vehicle, under your desk, or in your locker, wherever your days are actually spent. Build it now, using the tiered list as your starting point, and adjust it to your real commute and climate. Do not wait for a stranded afternoon to wish you had done it. Take an hour this week, assemble your bag, and place it where it belongs. Then complete the related preparation challenge to lock in the habit. The walk home is always easier when you pack for it in advance.